What's up, fam? Welcome to the Mostly Normal Gamers Podcast, episode 184. I am your host, John Swanson. Joining me today is the illustrious lord of BLP Entertainment, James Halliday. How are you doing, man?
Well, I'm getting over a cold, but I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
I feel like at least 25% of your episodes, you're getting over an illness of some sort.
You know what? With Addison's disease, you're way more susceptible because
I'm on steroids all the time.
Yeah, on steroids all the time, getting average, not swole, average.
Yeah.
Just reaching normalcy. Everybody's like, you're on steroids? It's awesome. It's like, I literally am just on steroids to be like you.
Yeah, exactly. Just to feel some level of normal. Well, yeah. Hey, man, thanks for joining me. We're recording this the day before Thanksgiving. I should clarify, American Thanksgiving.
That's right.
You already had your turkey.
Yeah.
Is yours like similar to ours? Do you do the same things?
We have a turkey. We thank the turkey for sacrificing itself because we took over native land. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I was just making sure it's the same.
It's
on a different day.
I used to know this. I actually did. I'm not gonna call it out on an episode. I forget.
It's not but important. I just thought it was interesting.
I was like, why the heck are these guys so out of whack down in the States?
Yeah, exactly. We're the ones that are backwards, James. That's it. Well, yeah, thank you all for joining us. I'll get to the lowdown first. And James and I were just talking before the episode. I think we're going to do everything that's in the lowdown you can find in the description of the podcast. So what you will find there is our website, our email, our Twitter, our phone that you can call us and give us voicemails. You can find VOD. You can find our Twitch.tv account. You can find so many things in that description. That's it. See, that was way shorter than the 5 minutes it normally takes me to do that.
We crushed it. Yeah, I know.
The reason we need to... Brevity is of a concern here, James, is because I have played so many games.
Oh, good. I've got, two. But I am so happy to hear about lots. Because the one I've got is, one I probably had on the episode, months ago. But I finally got back to it. And holy hell.
Nice.
Holy hell, man. All right.
I got this little silver book. Can you see it?
No, I can't. Covering it's covering up my
camera. Yeah. It is. Oh, there it is.
You got a little silver book? Yeah. I see it.
Yeah. So I write all my notes in here.
Oh, nice.
About all the games that I've played. Well, do you want to start first or you want me to start first?
I mean, you just go first, man.
I just feel like I'm going to forget if I don't start getting it, even though I have a lot of it written down. Well, I did platinum the Spider-Man 2, which... I don't know that I was... I think I had finished it or come close the last time I was on an episode. And so I did finally get it platinum, which was awesome. And I had told you, and I stand by this comment, I had said that I was not terribly excited about it. And I wasn't. But it's once I played it, it's fantastic, man. It's so good.
What do you think about that ending? What that ending means to the franchise going forward. Without spoilers, of course, but...
Yeah. You know far more about the comic books than I do, and you had to explain. I think the connection between Miles' mom and who she's dating and stuff, mm-hmm. I think that is far more interesting to me, because I'm not familiar with that stuff, than the, G serum and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, because I think I know where that's going. Like, you obviously know. I had to read where it's going, but I think we know. Because didn't they do that in the second movie or the Sam Raimi movies, the first or second or third one? Which one was the Green Lantern in? Or Green
Goblin?
Goblin.
The very first one.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Obviously, we were gonna get the Goblin. At some point, there's Norman Osborn in both games, Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2. Norman Osborn is famously the Green Goblin throughout the Marvel franchise. At no point does in the first game, do we really see him goblining or anything like that. But, they do mention the G serum in the second game, which implies that it exists, like the super soldier aspect of the goblin serum to turn him into the Green Goblin, which is like, I'm pumped for that because Green Goblin's one of my favorite Spider-Man villains, and I know it's so overdone, like, it's so overdone to the point of, like, why are we doing this? But I think it's more interesting the way they're going about it this time around, leaving, like, the Green Goblin for, like, maybe even the third game. We don't know if he's going to show up. Like, the fact is we didn't know Kraven was going to show up. Like, we kind of assumed Green Goblin was going to show up in this game originally when they left us off at the cliffhanger of the first, or not the cliffhanger, but the ending of the first game. We had Venom for sure. Like, we saw the Harry in the tank with the symbiote. And then there was Norman just being like Norman. And you're like, oh shit, we're going to get some Green Goblin and Venom. And that's going to be our game. And it was like, we're like, no. But I love the switch in between Spider-Mans being like the aspect of like each Spider-Man's got different stories, but their stories connect so like are so entwined to the point of you need that switch back and forth for different perspectives and different moments. And they did it so well.
Yeah, and like some of them are obligatory. Obviously, you have to do with Miles, and some you have to do with Peter. But mm-hmm. then other things that like even side story missions, you can choose which one you want to use. I was wondering how they were going to do that. They did a fantastic job. It's a fantastic game.
Oh, 100%.
So I loved it. And I loved it so much that it made me think like, well, you know what I could do now is probably go get that Miles Morales Platinum that I never got, because it's basically a one-to-one transition, right? You're already used to the moveset again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty similar. So I went ahead and did that. And
nice.
That game, I forgot, like, that it's set in a winter
time in New York.
It's so pretty, man. And it just got me, like, stoked for winter and, like, that time of year. Like, how well they developed the snow falling and him, like, just the feeling of flying through the city while it's just dumping snow on you.
Yeah.
It's so fun, man.
Yeah.
And so I did finally grab that Platinum, too, which was... Yeah, I'm glad I checked that one off. I'm now should I go play the Spider-Man DLC from the first game that I never played? Because I'm just kind of like
you're anchoring in the mode
for more. Yeah,
that's funny because the DLC for me, I liked the one that everybody hated. I think everybody didn't like the Tombstone story arc, and whatnot, and yeah. I really enjoyed it. And then there was the Black Cat stuff with where you like team up with her for a little bit. Yeah. And I
that's
also
the one I thought everybody didn't like.
Oh, is that the one? I didn't mind it. I thought it was fine. Like it was a lot of stealth missions, which honestly are some of my favorite missions in those games. Like I love doing the stealth stuff. What they fixed about the stealth missions going forward, like in Spider-Man Miles Morales and then in this game, was the fact that you could just finish the stealth missions without having to do waves of enemies was such a nice quality of life change, because like before, if you wanted to do like if you did stealth, you could do stealth to a point and then you had to fight waves of enemies anyway, so I was like what was the point of doing the stuff? I might as well just fight everybody. So they kind of de-incentivized you for doing that in the first game, which was like a minor gripe because it was still fun to do it.
but that's a good point, man. I didn't really catch that until you brought it up just now. Like they do reward you in the second game if you go in instead of going in quote unquote guns blazing, which isn't the correct simile or whatever, but you know what I mean.
Well, it's Spider-Man's guns, we're talking biceps here, baby.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, in the second game if you go in and stealth attack everything, it really does pay off.
Yeah,
and doesn't you don't but yeah, in the first game I remember you'd clear out everybody and land on the ground, and then it'd be like the doors bust open and all these guys come running out. And you're just like, all right then, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
I think you've finished it, right?
No, I've finished it. I didn't plan.
Do you think they'll do DLC?
Yes, they have already. They okay. I believe they've already laid out their plans for DLC. I think there's going to be two DLC packs with it. And I don't really know what it's going to cover or entail. They did a lot of, like, I loved a lot of the side stories in Spider-Man. Like, in Spider-Man 2, sorry. I thought they were incredible. And they were poignant. And, like, there was stuff with, like, dealing with, like, Kraven's children. Which is, like, in the story, like there's some significant characters. Like, in, I think, his daughter and... daughter ends up coming to America and starts being like a hunter for a while and wants to get like kind of revenge on Spider-Man. And she ends up setting her and her mom set up the Gauntlet, which is a story arc done by Dan Slott. And it's all about pitting Spider-Man against like all his old villains, like one after the other, but like in completely unrelating life scenarios, just to wear out Spider-Man as a human. As a person who's just trying to live his life, and he's constantly having to deal with shit from his past, with all of these, like, characters, like, coming out of retirement, back into being villains, and basically destroying his life over and over and over again, and it's fantastic. so, obviously, there's a whole story arc in the game that deals with his kids, and it ends in a way that I was not prepared for. Like, it was
I forgot about that.
And it's like, it's emotional. You're like, oh fuck. Like, and like, it really, like, it doesn't do anything for the game itself, but what it does do is it adds a lot of character depth to Kraven as a villain.
Yeah.
And
well, that, and like, it's another one of those instances where you could not finish every side mission, you know, and just finish the main stuff, and you wouldn't bring that stuff to light, you know what I mean? Because it's through doing like all the side stuff that that stuff gets elucidated. So, and I had totally forgotten about that. And I mean, it does somewhat bother me because I'm like, I see somebody at the end and I'm like, okay, cool. I know that is a person and somehow this is relevant. And this is probably really cool for someone like James who actually understands the background of what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It is cool how they do stuff like that. And also just the different ways at which they interrelate characters and stuff is pretty neat that Marvel lets them kind of have a little bit of freedom with some of that stuff. You know, obviously they're overseeing probably every aspect of the storytelling, but they do let them take some liberal movements, I think, with some of their story
I mean, concepts. All of the characters, like half the characters, the way they get their abilities, how they are, who they're related to, all that sort of stuff has changed, right? Like, it's...
yeah,
it's their own Spider-Man universe. Like, they have created their own thing, and they have, like, they can bring in any, almost any character, and it doesn't matter who they are, how they're, what their relations to each other in the actual comics is, or in the movies, it's all separate, right? And so I love the fact that it's contained. It's not trying to be the MCU, it's not trying to be 616, the comic universe, it's just trying to be Spider-Man, Insomniac's Spider-Man game, and the stuff, in, like, this is why I'm really interested in the Wolverine game, because I want to know if it's going to be connected to their Spider-Man universe in any way.
Yeah.
Because they've implied that the Avengers exist, Stephen Strange exists in their universe. Stephen Strange exists in their universe. There's a whole little, like, mini section of the game, like, it's super small. It's all of, like, maybe an hour, like, a mission long, right? And it just, like, none of the characters show up, just something gets stolen from Stephen Strange's house in Spider-Man, and you have to recover it, or help somebody recover it. And, like, that's, like, it's just such a cool sort of, like, they've implied that these other characters, these other Marvel characters exist in the universe. Fantastic Four has a building. I think they mention the Fantastic Four in one of the games. And so it's like they imply that it's not just Spider-Man. And so I want to know if, like, oh, do they have permission to include Wolverine in that universe, or is the Wolverine game just going to be Wolverine and that's it?
Yeah.
To which
that
I'd be fine with too.
Yeah, I'm okay with either one. It would be cool if the DLC, like, maybe hints at some of the stuff coming with Wolverine, because that'll be closer to the launch, obviously, of that game. Is that game coming out next year or 2 years from now?
I think, right? I have no idea on the actual release date. I thought I don't think they've given us a release date.
No, I guess I thought it was 2024 or 2025. They just gave us a year, but maybe I'm deadly wrong. Oh, okay.
I think that's the assumption.
So, yeah, Spider-Man games. If you haven't played them, go play them, because they're all really, really good. Anything else on Spider-Man, James?
No, I'm good on Spider-Man. We can move on. We can move on. I love it, so but then, it's like, I always like get worried we just talk about it way too long, you know?
Yeah,
Because
I could probably sit here and
Wolverine is reportedly due 2025, according to Eurogamer, so.
Okay. So then I did that thing where you get done with a game that you really like, and you feel lost in this world. You know what I mean? Like, life doesn't have meaning anymore or purpose. And it's all sad. So you just, like, jump from game to game to game and see what you can find. So I'm going to go through my list of games that I've jumped through.
Nice.
Have a Nice Death. Okay. Do you know this one?
Yeah, I know. It's a 2D platforming kind of Metroidvania where you play a little Grim Reaper.
Yeah, exactly. But it's actually, and I should have, like, watched a review. I saw that it got pretty good reviews. So I was just like, oh, 2D platformer, Metroidvania, exactly what you said with that gets above a 7. Sign me up. But it's a roguelite, kind of like Dead Cells. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I dislike those games. It's just I don't, like, Dead Cells was the last one that I played that struck a chord with me, like, to the point where I, like, felt like playing it all the time. Even Hades, like, no insult to that game. I know tons of people love that game. Same thing. I just can't do the same thing over and over again. And it's the same thing with the, what do you call them? Like, randomly generated or procedurally generated levels and that kind of thing. And it's not a bad game. Like, the combat was fun. It's witty and it's comedy and that kind of thing. But I might go back to it. But I played it. And then it did the thing where it asked me if I wanted to go down to easy. And I was literally just, like, messing around. Like, I was not taking the game too terribly seriously at all. And I was like, no, I don't want to go to easy. How dare you even ask me? So then I turned it off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough of that. But if you're into Metro, or if you're looking for a 2D platformer that's also roguelite, then, you know, it's a decent one.
Fair
enough. I also played Gunbrella demo.
I did too.
What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it, but there's just too much on my plate to sit down and actually play the whole game, so I haven't bit the bullet and done that. So
yeah, it's only $15, so I might get it. I did like the demo, although the combat wasn't really what I was expecting as far as, like, difficulty goes. The way you get around kind of is kind of cool, like how you use the Gumbrella to, like, float and shoot and, like, that kind of thing. So the mechanics I thought were kind of new and different, and it seems like a cool game, and it's only, like I said, $15, I think, so definitely might get around to playing it. Is there anything coming out?
I gotta go deal with my dog real quick.
No, it's all good. So yeah, Gunbrella. I don't know if y'all out there are into the 2D platformers with the shooting and the stuff, but I thought the combat was cool. The demo takes you through the first, like, probably hour and a half. It's actually a pretty decent demo. If you think you might be interested in it, it's totally worth checking out, because it does, I think, give you a good insight into what the actual game will probably be like, because it is such a large demo. And you don't have to pay for, Switch Online Plus in order to get the damn demo like you do on PlayStation. So,
yeah.
Evie, are you being naughty?
Yeah, she was barking at squails or something like that.
I do. What else do you got? Is there a ton of stuff coming up?
As far as, like, end of the year stuff, I don't think there's a huge amount of stuff that is on the horizon. I've been playing, mostly what I've been playing has been Baldur's Gate 3 again. I never finished it. I got to the second act and then had to take a break just because it's just such a big game. So I took a break from it, and I just jumped back into it. I finished the second act. I'm into the third act. And oh my god, I love this game so much, to the point of like I know you're not. You've never really played D&D before, have you? Yeah. No. So it's D&D, right? As a video game, but it's also like the retro Fallout games. Like that's it plays the way an old retro Fallout game would play. Turn-based, tactical style gameplay, but you're walking around, you're talking to people, you're building relationships, you're conniving, you're tricking people, deceiving them, breaking into buildings, sneaking, stealing, like all the sort of stuff that is in like a traditional Fallout game, I guess, or like not a traditional, a modern Fallout game or Skyrim or whatever. It's just done in a turn-based package with all of the D&D kind of rules with like slight modifications, but other than that, if you're familiar with D&D and how that plays, it plays like a D&D session. And it feels like a D&D campaign, and it's just so cool. Like, the romance in this game is amazing. My character has, I got a trophy playing this game. Or whatever it's called when you play a game on Steam and you get an award of some sort.
I think it's achievement or something like that.
Yeah, some silly thing like that. But I just to say how ridiculous these games can get, I have I've romanticized and had a sexual encounter with a mind flayer, which are known as like very evil creatures that have like an octopus squid head and keep slaves and are very like meant, like they have psychic powers that are like beyond almost anybody's, and they're very manipulative, and I have romanced one to the point of getting a trophy called Mind Blown. And I was just laughing so hard the whole time, and I'm like, this is absurd, but it's so fun that I have the option to just do this stupid little thing. Like you could romance any of the party members, like, which are all fairly attractive character models, and you're sitting there going like, oh boy. But yeah, I romanced the mind flayer.
The squid lady?
The squid. I'm playing a being? Female.
Okay.
So, in the game, you can create your own character. I did not opt for that because I've been told that their origin characters, the ones they pre-make, are actually like really in-depth and have really good stories. So I just followed. I picked one of them. I picked the cleric, which if anybody knows me playing D&D, when in doubt, I pick a cleric. The atheist. Religious
deep
nut.
Spirituality.
I think it's just my love. Like it's in a world where religion is a known entity. Like people interact with gods on a level that is not the same as reality. Reality is like religion is all based on a faith. Like you have blind faith in something because that is where your spirituality lies. Whereas in like D&D and fantasy worlds, they're like, oh, we know the god exists. He comes down here every once in a while and beats the crap out of the bad guys. So we know that they exist, and these people just worship them. I don't know. I like the idea of being like a sort of like an avatar of that deity or whatever. And then I get to role play different characters depending on how I... which deity I choose in which campaign. And I've played lots. I love being a cleric of like a devil too, because I think it's really funny being like trying to be a good character while worshiping like something that's like tyrannical.
Pure evil.
Yeah, it's fun. But the game is just incredible, and it's so dense. Like it's only in three acts, which is like essentially three locations. But each location is so vertically dense. Like, there's just so much you can do, so many quests. Like, there's quests that I just straight up missed in the second act. And they basically tell you that on your, like, any quest that you've essentially, like, abandoned when you move on to the next act, it says it's completed in your, like, to-do list, which I think is, thank God, like, it doesn't just sit there glaringly being like, you didn't do this. It's like, it's completed. We're like, and it just makes a note like, yeah, we totally forgot about that. So, or it's like, this character left us a note saying, thanks for the help, but they're going to find a way to solve their problem some other way.
Like, just like, oh, like if you miss a side mission or something and
if you ignore
you
it
can no longer do it?
Yeah, and it crosses it off because guess what? You're done. You completed it. You completed it in some way. Just because you failed or whatever.
Life continues on.
Yeah, there's one character early on in the game where you can like help a goblin at a jail, and she is very much an evil goblin. And you help her out, and she tries to convince you to join the goblins and all that sort of stuff, and you can bring her back to her base. But if, like, you don't do anything, eventually, like, she gets, like, they're like, yeah, you got caught by the humans, you're a traitor and a spy, and she gets, like, thrown in a spider pit to get killed. And if you don't help her in any way past there, it just says, like, in your thing, it's like, you helped her, she wanted more help, but if she eventually just died because she was, for being a goblin, or... It's just like, I love the little like notes. Like it's like the slight cheekiness to their writing in this game is so brilliant.
But yeah,
that is.
And you're playing it on PC, right?
Yes, I'm playing on PC. So it's giving me like I said, it's giving me like the old. It's the Fallout game that I've wanted to play for years, and I get to play it. I've been playing a bit of. I beat Mario Wonder. I don't know if I talked about it last time.
Yeah, I heard you and Chris talking about that. Yeah. You said you were on you got to some level that you can't beat
the other levels. I still have not beaten it. It's way too hard.
Is it like one of those, what are those called? Like, I want to call them Miso or Mos.
Kaizo? Kaizo? It's kind of Kaizo. It's not to the level of like some of the levels that they make in Mario Maker. But it's just stuff where it's like, you can't touch ground for like, you've got like the very first section is you have to use your parachute hat. You have to jump into essentially a pit that has filled with lava or whatever. So if you drop too fast, you die. And then enemies are coming up, and they're all moving, and you have to just dodge all of these enemies while maintaining your parachute, and you just have to do this. Like, there's nowhere for you to go or rest, and then, like, after you complete that section, it's got another section where you have to use a different power for the whole duration, don't die, and, like, I've done, like, three of them, and I haven't found a checkpoint. So it's like, I'm like, oh my God. So you die, you're back at the very beginning. And it's like, oh God, this is, I got to a point where I was like, maybe I'll come back to this.
So maybe there just is no checkpoint.
There might not be. It might have to be beat in one go. Right. And
gross.
That's intense. So it's hard. They get really hard. That game is fantastic though. Top tier. Absolutely loved it.
Cool.
I'm playing Mario RPG now.
Oh yeah, how's that?
Very good. It's a Super Mario RPG.
Just redone.
It feels like just like I remember. It's beautiful. Like it's got great graphics. The gameplay is top tier, fantastic. Like I'm loving it. They did add for people who are nuts for like the old retro music, there's an option just to switch back to the original sound. But I actually like the newer one just because it's softer than the original, which is like very MIDI based, like where it's very like kind of like, which I don't mind. I do enjoy that. Yeah. But when you've got the beautiful lush like rendered graphics compared to like the pixelated versions that you used to play on your old tube TV with your Super Nintendo, the beautiful, like, round, like, it just got, there's a softness to the visuals, so the softness to the sound pairs really nicely. So I just left it the way it is. It kind of, the graphics just kind of remind me of Link's Awakening remake they did. Except for this one feels a lot more truer to the original game. Like, whereas Link's Awakening had a lot of little creative add-ons and quality of life changes to the extent that it felt like a new game, even though it was just Link's Awakening again.
I guess I can't say because I never played the original.
But oh, really?
I really like Link's Awakening.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The remake.
Don't get me wrong. I think that's like that was one of my favorite Zelda games that came out in the last little while. It's so good. It's fantastic. There's something to be said that like if you've got the original still kicking around, I do. If you got the original,
what was it on? Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's still kicking around. Like, you have the game. You don't necessarily need to play the remake. The remake's beautiful, and it's fun.
Is it $70?
Yeah, it's full price. It's Nintendo. Of course it's sold full price.
Well, yeah, I wasn't sure if they took the full dive on the new price to on games, or if they were waiting until the next Switch.
I don't know. I don't know only because I paid like $100 for it because I'm Canadian, so our prices are slightly different. I think it's it's around $90 or something like that for me, so
oofda.
Yeah,
but 60. That's 60 yet.
It's 60?
Yeah.
Okay, so
the Super Nintendo version is 160.
The Super Nintendo version is of course way more expensive because guess what? That's one of those really good Super Nintendo games that everybody wants, so nobody's selling.
There's also a Super Mario Adventure game that's like not a board game, but like, what do you call that? Like a kid's game, you know? What do you call those?
I don't know.
Like not a board game, but like not a video game either.
I'm lost.
Talking about?
No,
what would you call Hungry Hungry Hippos?
Oh yeah, I would still call it a board game. It doesn't use a board, but it's a board game.
Yeah, there's a Super Mario Adventure game that I've been trying to convince my son to play.
Nice. So, yeah.
Sorry, these things popped up and then my ADHD kicked in.
So yeah, let's do it.
Here we are talking about random stuff. You've been playing anything else, James?
Not particularly. I was playing a little bit of, I kicked out the old Analog Pocket a while back, and I was playing some Wario Land. So Super Mario Land 3, Wario Land, the, original Wario Land game, and I was playing a little bit of that, and I got to, like, the third world in it, and that was, like, I was just like, I want to play an old Game Boy game.
And that's a Game Boy game?
Yes, that is,
not an advanced game.
Game Boy. No, just an old Game Boy game. And all three of them were on Game Boy. Like Wario Land 1, 2, and 3 were all Game Boy games. I think 3 was a Game Boy Color game, but the first two, I think, were just Game Boy.
Cool.
But, I don't know, I like them.
Right on. Well, James, let me give a shout-out to our sponsor real quick, Magic Mind. You can find them at www.magicmind.com. This stuff, man... I don't know if you've ever seen the, like, green energy shots that you can buy at the grocery store. They're probably in bags in Canada, I'm guessing. But anyway, serendipitously, Magic Mind reached out to me and was like, hey, we would love to sponsor your podcast. And I'm like, awesome. I've been trying to, like, stop drinking coffee. And so this has basically, like, replaced coffee for me. Like, so I no longer have to drink coffee. I just get up in the morning and drop, like, this 1 ounce shot, and it... Unlike the like green juices that you see in the shots, it actually tastes good. Sticks with you for like all day. You don't feel like you have to like re-dope like you do with coffee. If you're like me, like I drink the coffee and then by like 11:30, I'm usually ready for a nap. So it's made out of all natural ingredients. It's keto friendly, paleo, vegan, all that fun stuff. Nut friendly. It has all natural ingredients. Again, go to magicmind.com and you can see what it's all about. If you use the code GAMERS20, you can get up to 56% off your order. And then if you go to magicmind.com/gamers, you can, I think that'll take you directly to where you can get our link for it. So again, just wanted to give them a shout out. Thanks for supporting the podcast and supporting my energy levels on a daily basis. And with that, James, now I can get back to what I was talking about. I've downloaded so many other games that... you were talking about Analog Pocket.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm good.
So, I'm almost done with Superstar Saga.
Oh, I know, yes.
It's laughable at this point.
No. That's fantastic because I'm playing Mario RPG and you're playing Superstar Saga, like the spiritual successor to Mario RPG.
So I think I beat the final boss, I think. But then a timer started and I don't know where to go.
Oh no.
So I watched a video and I think I know where to go now, but the bad news is there's like 30 seconds ticked off the clock. So I'm afraid that if it goes and you don't save, and people forget that these games are 20 years old, man. You don't just start like the checkpointing you were talking about with Super Mario Wonder. You don't just start somewhere. You have to fight the bosses all over again or something like that. So I'm a little bit anxious because it's taken me a long time and a lot of angry moments to get to this point. But I'm almost done. Other games that I've played. Have you heard of Song of Nunu?
Yes. Is that the...
It's kind of cutesy League of Legends.
Yeah. You're like you're a little girl with like a Yeti or something like that.
Yeah, and you like ride on its back. It looked adorable and looks something amazing. Like something my kid could watch me play, so I purchased that one.
Nice. Please tell me how it is.
Haven't started it yet. I will.
Because it was on my list of check it out games.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it is. Next, Trek to Yomi. Have you played any of that?
Yeah, I beat it.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
What do you think? Should I keep at it?
It's a cool game. I don't think it's mind... Like, I think it's aesthetically cool, but it's just the combat's not super tight. It's kind of... gets a little monotonous. There's some really, like, just frustratingly dumb parts. There's a cool, like, sort of you're dealing with death aspect of it, where you have to make these choices, and they were kind of fun, but at the end of the day, I would say if you're not enjoying it, I wouldn't stick around. You've got the shtick of it, right?
Yeah.
If you are enjoying it, do finish it because it's I think it's worth it to finish it. I just don't think it's, if you're not enjoying it, it's not worth it to keep going.
No. Well, the combat was just not fun.
Yes.
Like, it's not enjoyable at all. And also the animation kind of seemed like, remember the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer claymation?
Yeah.
It strikes me as that sometimes, and I don't know if that's like on purpose, like an artistic choice that they made or what. But and it's not necessarily bad, it's just weird. And again, like the gameplay, the combat in general wasn't fun, so I don't think I'll go back to it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Wolong Fallen Dynasty, have you played that?
That's apparently super hard and everybody's angry at it game.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I didn't. It reminds me of Neo. Did you ever play NIOH Neo? Like
yes,
the ninja, Dark Souls kind of. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like you're a ninja and it's Souls like.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I heard it's like, unlike most Dark Souls games, it's are artificially difficult. Like, it's not like the difficulty is not from good game design where it's like, oh, I'm going to learn from this and go forward. It's just like, we're just going to make hard things be hard and like unfair at times and stuff like that. Like, very rarely in a Dark Souls game do I feel like I died and I'd be like, this is so unfair or whatever. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, there are enemies that do that. I think more so in recent years, I think they've kind of shot themselves in the foot where they have to try and be the hard, difficult game. And so they've been like adding a little bit of arbitrarily difficult aspects to their games that is not just the typical, teach me through game design, how to solve this.
How to get better.
Yeah. And so I think they've kind of been like, I think there is a few bosses in Elden Ring that just have that sort of like, oh, you're doing this? Oh, that's kind of like, this is just stupid. You're just doing this, spamming this move? All right, well, I guess I'll die because I can only perform this dodge and stuff like for so long until my character's stamina is out and now I'm just dying. So there's like moments like that. Whereas, I heard that the Wulong Fallen Dynasty has like a lot of those sort of moments. But I've never played it, so who am I to say? I'm just an idiot.
I just played a bit of it, and it Yeah, like it struck me as a Souls game, and I never finished Neo, even though I liked it.
Yeah, neither did I.
I kind of had the same thing with Dark Souls or Bloodborne. Like the first couple of times I played those, like you reach a boss that just makes you angry, and then you sometimes give up. And that's where I've landed with Neo. Although I would love to go back and play it, I probably won't. Same with Lolong. Like, I mean, not an indictment on the game, but like, there's enough in this space for me personally, like to where I'm not like, I understand if you're a Souls gamer and that's what you do, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you probably love this kind of stuff, but like, I'm not huge on playing super difficult games just for the fun of it. So yeah. I think I'll pass. And then I bailed on Plague Tale Requiem, I think, just because I wasn't vibing mm-hmm. with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not, it's similar to the first one, but. Yeah. I do have one more game. Are you keeping track, man? This is like
you're playing a lot of games. This is ridiculous. Your retention's not good, but
yeah, exactly. I told you it's the post Spider-Man, dude. It's like getting over a serious relationship or something. You just keep jumping around. I guess I don't know. Just make stuff up. Eastward. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, it's the Okay, you go. You
it's
played
a James.
It. I just know it.
It's It strikes me as a game that you would really like.
Okay, cool.
It's do you call it isometric? It's kind of laid out like Sea of Stars. It's not you're a guy and a young girl, and you start in this town, and it's action based instead of like action adventure, basically, instead of turn based like Sea of Stars. But the perspective is kind of the same, at least from like the camera view and that kind mm-hmm. of thing, and also the graphic style.
Like an old Zelda game.
Yes, exactly like an old Zelda game. And it's weird, it has this juxtaposition of like feeling happy-go-lucky, right, and then this very dark stuff comes in, and then the way you interact with the characters, they just say stuff that's just kind of unnerving sometimes, even though the music is like cheery and like upbeat. They say this stuff and you're like, what? And then you end up like, this is pretty early on, you get kicked out of your town because you're doing something you're not supposed to. It's not anything like terribly nefarious. It's kind of like you would expect in a game that's kind of silly. You like fed the rotten banana to the mayor's goat, and so the mayor kicked you out of town. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not what happened, but it's silly like
that.
If
I play this game, that's verbatim.
I promise you it's not. There is no goat or any bananas that I've encountered yet.
It's a melon and a cow.
Exactly. But so you do these silly things, and then you go to this town, and then the dark part comes back in, and then you're realizing that, like, this girl, so the guy that and girl pair, mm-hmm. right? This girl, you're to believe that he's just, like, looking after her, right? He's not her dad. She just seems to have come from somewhere. But she has her reaction to this dark stuff happening around her is just very also unnerving. Like, it doesn't bother her that she's like seeing all this dark stuff. She's like, oh, look how beautiful it is out there today. And it's like, oh, did you not notice that all those people died last night? Like, mm-hmm. this is not troubling you, small child? Like, what's going on here? So it's cool, man.
So is it like playing on the mental, like the, not the mentality, the sort of the situation that like a child doesn't perceive the world the same way as an adult would, and like a kid's not listening to the news and hearing about atrocities, they're just hearing boring stuff, just going wah wah wah, and then like they are imagining different things, and like the world is much more carefree because they're a child and they don't know any better. Is it like
so
playing into that?
I don't think so, because she like. She knew, like, I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay, like, don't spoil it.
But, like,
I'll check
there's,
it out.
There's, I'm just saying there's, like, people. So, she knows people. She knows these people. And then you have to leave because something bad is happening. And you have to leave this town.
Yeah.
So then, presumably, all the people in that town are now dead. Like, presumably. I don't know that. But, like, as you're leaving on the train to leave that town to, because you fled away from the bad thing, like she's looking out the window and she's like, look how beautiful it is today. Like, and you're just like, okay, creepy girl, I don't understand what's happening. And then you go to the next town and it's the same thing. It's like everything's kind of upbeat, but also in this weird way where the characters that you interact with say these weird things. I don't know. I'm intrigued by what's going to happen. So I do think, because it reminded me of Dredge, you know, like you were talking about Dredge, except Dredge kind of like is pretty apparent that something weird's happening there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this, did you ever play Doki Doki Literature Club?
No.
I never did either, but it reminds me of what people are talking about with that, where you think it's like this cutesy game and it's definitely not that. It's gonna.
I know my kid like, was really into Doki Doki Literature Club.
I've heard it's really good. I need to play. I think I have it on my MacBook somewhere for free or something.
She likes really creepy games too. Like she's all into Little Nightmares and stuff like that. So.
Apple that fell close to the tree. Then.
What are you talking about?
You like creepy games?
I know, I do. I like horror.
You took that as like an incel or something?
Sorry, visually, people who cannot see me, I have a giant drawing that I did of a print of a woodblock print that I did of the Zuniqua, which is horrifyingly rendered as like this emaciated, like hunched woman in the woods. With a basket of severed children. I just moved out of the way to reveal that on camera to John. So, I like creepy things. All right. Yes, I do.
Yes, it's true. But I don't know, man. The other thing is I'm playing it on Game Pass and it's only left on Game Pass for like 9 days.
Oh, so damn it.
I got to beat like, it before.
I was like, I'm pretty sure it's on Game Pass. I'll play it over the winter.
So I'm trying to pound it out before, it leaves Game Pass, but I'll let you know next time we chat how it turns out.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, yeah, that's all I got, man. What do you say? Should we? It's already been 45 minutes, James. You and I could probably talk about games for 3 or 4 hours and never.
I know. Skip a beat. Charity podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Let's. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow. I gotta go give my son a bath and then get him to bed, which is gonna be super exciting for me. Thank you everybody for joining us. We'll have this one out ASAP. It'll already be out and you're listening to it, so you don't really care. But again, you can check out the show description for the link to Magic Mind, also all the links to our ways you can contact us and contribute to the content and listen to the content and watch the content when it's watchable. James, also shout out your Movember thing.
Yeah, I'm growing a mustache. I grew a mustache. I got a mustache growing for Movember. If you don't know, Movember is a charity that is raising money. It raises money every year by supporting men's health, mental health, and as well as like fighting various men's illnesses, because it's a on average, men die about 6 years younger than women do, and it's largely from preventable reasons. They suffer from mental health issues a lot more severely. 3 out of 4 suicides are all male. It comes down to a lot of like men not talking about how they feel, right? So, and then it comes down to the fact that we suffer from prostate cancer and testicular cancer, which are two fairly curable, albeit very dangerous types of cancers if we leave them too late and don't check ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Before you wreck yourself.
Literally. So I do this charity I do it once a year, all through November. I feel like I can't grow a beard, but I can grow a mustache. So that's what I do. I grow my mustache for Movember. And if John edits the podcast fast enough, I'm doing my charity stream on the 25th, which is this Saturday. And I will be streaming from 7 in the morning till... right now, it's an 8-hour stream. So I'm doing it. I'm streaming for 3 hours, then an hour for every $100 I raise in Canadian monies. So... your American money's
what a steal.
Yeah, you guys are getting for every $74 or $72, that's a whole nother hour of stream. And I will stream until I drop if I raise enough money. My goal is $1,000 this year. I think I raised 600 last year and I was like, I can do more. And I think in Canadian dollars I'm at 570, so nice. I'm almost
And you haven't even started yet.
Well, I mean, I've been raising it all month, right?
Yeah.
But, so, it, honestly, I'd be cool if you guys want to stop by and say hi. Please do, because I'll be absolutely wrecked. And then, if not, if you couldn't, if you want to, like, toss me a few bucks, or just spread the word, like, share my my link on social media, so share it with friends and family, because guess what? Everybody has a father. Somebody knows a friend that's a man, or you have a brother, or you, like, you got family, you got friends. Somebody knows a guy, and guys are dying. So let's raise some money and help save some lives.
Yeah, and you can check out the link in the description.
I don't know.
Along with all the other stuff in the description. As if people are watching another video, or there's something below you that they can look at. James podcast without pants on. We're finding out today. Yeah, you can find me at Johnny Samsonite on Twitter. You can find Angie at Stellar Smalls. James at Butler Primus.
Everywhere, including Blue Sky now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot we were going to talk about
it. I'm a Blue Sky elite, baby.
I know. I'm going to call it, I want to call it Blueski.
Blueski.
Even though I know it's Blue Sky, it's just because it'll irritate people.
Yeah, B Sky or whatever, because it's, yeah. It's, yeah, I just got it this morning. I opened up my email. I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, I applied for that.
Oh, like, you applied for it?
Yeah, I didn't even know you could do that. Right when it started. I was like, oh, is everybody's talking about this Blue Sky thing? All right, it's gonna be another one of these Twitter clones, and so I just I opened it up or whatever, and it's like, we'll send you a code when you're allowed. And I was like,
cool enough to join.
All right, and then I just kind of occasionally would be like, oh shit, I still don't have a code for that. Whatever, and just move on, right? But. I got it. And I checked out a little bit. I'm just following Knobel right now, so I know it's Knobel. So there, I got like a steady stream of video game news
from the one person you're following.
Yeah. Well, he's prolific. Do you have?
Follow
him on Twitter.
I'm sure I do.
He's like the Knobel replacement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Knobel quit Twitter and whatnot, and he was like
the
ultimate form.
Maybe that's who I was following.
You were probably following Knobel, and now it's Knobel is kind of like taking the mantle and is doing an incredible job. The poor
running with it.
Yeah, he's like begging people just retweet my stuff because. It's not enough. Like, he's like, my boss knows I do this, and he supports me, but it's hard to keep up with these things. And it's like, all right, well, he's doing an amazing job. And my favorite thing he does is he does these little infographics, like, once a month. And he used to do them once a week. I don't know if he's still doing them. I haven't seen them in a while. But once a month, he does, like, infographics of all of the games that are coming out that month. And they're fantastic. It's like, oh shit, now I know it's coming out this month. And then he also does, he used to do these infographics, like, at the end of the week, all of the big news that happened in that week, like a reflection, and it's just brilliant. I fucking love them. So I hope he's still doing it. I've been, like, sporadic on my social media lately, because I don't know, life's been busy. So, anyway, follow me on
social media. And send me a link to that. Dude, if he's worth following, because
I will,
you know, I could probably do that. And that's it. I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. And we're planning on doing our Goaty episode on December 13th. They're recording it on that day, so hopefully we'll stream it and all that fun stuff. Hopefully we'll actually plan ahead. I wouldn't hold breath for it, but you know, the chance is always possible that we plan ahead. But yeah, so look forward to that. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for joining, and go play games. Bye!